Good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We'd like to welcome all those present and also those that are joining us online. It's a great day to be here. I hope everyone had a pleasant Christmas. As the holidays continue, we need to remember to remain cautious because of the holidays are still here. And so be safe, be careful. And I'd like to take this opportunity to reflect upon those that are undergoing difficulties in their life, a number of tragedies through nature, hurricanes and storms and things like that. And for those that are dealing with those that are sick, either through the COVID epidemic or through other various situations, to pray for those individuals as they struggle. And we are so truly blessed. We are so truly blessed. And I see the destruction that occurred in these other states with the tornadoes and the loss of life, the loss of homes. And it brings us to our knees and it makes us reflect upon the true importance of having God in our lives to help us get through those difficult times. We have a couple announcements this morning before we begin our worship service. The ladies, mark your calendars Wednesday, January the 5th at 9:30 a.m. We will begin a ladies' class, and Russell will be teaching the book of Hebrews. Also, we will have a devotional this Wednesday, December the 29th, until 7:30, and then we will celebrate the December birthdays in the kitchen. I don't know what that's going to be, but it ought to be interesting. In the kitchen. Bow with me and we'll begin. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to be together to worship you, Lord. We pray, Father, through our efforts this morning, we are spiritually uplifted, that we'll have the courage to take what we have learned forward and to share it with others, to strengthen us not only in our faith, but in their faith as well. Be with those that are struggling, Father, either through physical or spiritual needs. Be with those that care for these individuals and see them through their difficulties. And know that, Father, we shall always lean upon you and put our burdens on you, Father, because you know that you will help us through our difficulties. Be with those individuals that are participating in this morning's worship service, either through prayer, song, or the Holy Communion. And be with our preacher, Russell, as he delivers his message to us. Thank you once again for the many blessings, and thank you, Father, for all those that are present. All these things in your Son's name, Christ our Savior. Amen.
It's over. I'm free from quarantine. Yeah. Back. In all seriousness, give Jackie, Jimmy, and Carl a metaphorical pat on the back. They did a great job these past two services that I wasn't here, and I'm very appreciative of that. Oh, that would be not good. Take my word for it. Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name. Word.
Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 John 3:19 through 24. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Can you see one here this morning? Isn't it going to be a Christian?
Yes.
Little Billy had got into a bunch of mischief, and so his mother said, "How can you expect to go to heaven?" And he thought, and he thought, and he looked up, and he said, "Well, I'll just go in and out and slam the door over and over again, and then somebody's going to say to me, shut the door and either get out or get in, and I'll go into heaven." He was pretty assured that that would work. What about you? How do you expect to get to heaven? Do you have that assurance? That's what John is communicated in the verses just read. He wants them to have assurance, to be calm, to be tranquil as they think about Jesus coming again, to have a sense of assurance. And that's important, isn't it? All of us know what it's like to wait for the news of something that we can't necessarily control. Maybe when you're younger, you wonder if you're going to make the all-star team in baseball or not, and you wait and wait, and you don't know what the answer is going to be until you get the news. Sometimes you put a down payment on a house, and you wonder if it's going to go through or not. Sometimes you may be pretty confident, but you don't know until you know. John is writing and saying, you can K-N-O-W know that you have eternal life, the quality and quantity of life that we have in Christ. But many people go through life wondering and doubting and not sure that they're going to go to heaven. They are waiting for the answer, but they're not necessarily confident. Maybe I've been good enough. Maybe I'll get in by the skin of my teeth. If that's where you live, that's not where God wants you to be. That's not where John wants you to be. When Dee Dee and I got married, they had rented a limo to take us to the airport, and we were going to fly to Dallas, and then we were going to fly to Lubbock and then get a car that was waiting for us and drive up to Crested Butte, Colorado for our honeymoon. And so we went to the airport, and we had flowers from the wedding. You could tell we just got married. I had that glow, you know, all that stuff, right? And so they said, "How would you like to move up to first class?" So we were going to be in third class, right? But now they offered first class. Did we refuse that and say, no, we don't want that? I mean, why ride third class when you could ride first class? And that's what you need to think about. You're on a ride, and where are you at? Are you where God wants you to be as far as your assurance, your confidence in the certainty that you have about your life in Christ? And so he's writing them and telling them, here's some tests. There's the test of righteousness. You got to live right. You pass that test. Last week we talked about the love test. To love others the way Christ loved you. And he ends by saying, don't just love with word and tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then based on that, he's going to reveal to us three assurances of confident faith. If you've lived life not confident in the assurances God gives you, and then you move to have those assurances, you know what it's like and you know what you've missed. Many people are flying third class when they should be in first class. Don't live below your privilege spiritually as a Christian as we look at these three assurances. First of all, have confidence in God's pardon, His forgiveness, His mercy. It says, and by this, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So first of all, have confidence in God's pardon, His forgiveness. He says, and shall assure our hearts before Him. That word, assure, the original word means to persuade. It means to calm. It's where we get our word tranquil. If somebody hits you with a tranquilizer gun, what are you going to do? You'll be relaxed, right? Tranquilo. We are the ones who have to assure our hearts. And how do we do that? We look in God's Word for those things that give us assurance. And if we follow God's Word, practice His Word, obey God's Word, then we can have assurance. By this we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Standing before God with confidence. The old commercials, raise your hand if you're sure, right? Remember all those commercials? I remember growing up in the days where they weren't using sure and there were not able to raise their arms, right? So be sure. Be confident. Have assurance. And shall assure our hearts before Him. Don't go through life wondering if something's going to happen or not. No. K-N-O-W, know that you're in the right place. For if our hearts condemn us, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And he asked God, he's asking for help for his heart to be right. Our hearts, you can't always count on. And what is your heart? Not your physical blood pumper. It's the seat of your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And in this context, it's our conscience. We can have a biting, devouring conscience that says, my name is No-No, I'm 2 years old, right? Or we can have a conscience that gives us the lure of possibility. Some of us can think, well, what a worm am I? I may not make it. I'm not good enough. I've sat across the table from inmates that have said, I've done so many bad things in my life, there's no way God could ever forgive me. And when I hear those words, I say, do you want to know that God forgives you? Because can God forgive anyone? Yes. Ask Clyde Thompson, 3 times pardon. And what do I have to share with them for them to know? Obey the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and continue walking in faith. Have you done those things? Then God gives you a promise, but you have to continue in the faith. John is saying you've got to live right and love right. That's the test to know that you stand right with God. And that confidence is important. You can see confidence in some people. I tell people all the time, I don't necessarily have a lot of self-confidence, but I got a lot of Christ confidence. He's building their Christ esteem. He wants them to know for sure that they have the forgiveness, the pardon, the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. I've been pardoned. Jesus has washed away my sins. I've been given the gift of the Spirit. I need to rely on those things, believe in those things. And when Satan comes and puts words in my ears, or I begin to have a conscience that doubts, how could God forgive me? I keep doing that over and over and over again. How could He forgive me? Have you ever committed a sin and then you don't want to pray because you feel guilty about it and you feel like God probably won't even listen? We've all been there. It was mentioned in class today because I say this all the time, but when I was growing up, I would often say, my father would say a prayer and say, now that you've forgiven Russell, help him forgive himself, because I had a hard time sometimes getting assurance. God wants us to have assurance. And when our hearts condemn us, you know, we're tempted to commit a sin. Satan is luring us, and we dive in and we commit the sin. And as soon as we do, what does Satan do? He turns the tables and says, how can you call yourself a Christian and do that? And then we begin to want, well, how could I be a Christian and do that? And then we begin to doubt and waffle, and we become a spiritual ping pong ball, right? Like a yo-yo, up and down. And He's got us where He wants us. He, John, is wanting them to know God is greater than your conscience. God is greater than your heart. He knows all things. And you may feel like you're not good enough, that you're not worthy enough, but the message of God is you are a king's kid. You are special. It reminds us of Psalm 18 when He says, when I called, God heard. When God heard, God came. When God came, He rescued me, because, verse 19 of chapter Psalm 18, He rescued me because He delighted in me. God delights in you. Sometimes we need to remember He delights in us. David would say, I am the apple of His eye. Is that the way you feel about how God feels about you? If not, why not? Because you can know God looks at you. He looks at me, all the mistakes I've made, all the sins I've made, all the things that I've done in my life that I feel bad about. God looks at me just as if I had not sinned. Now, do I have to be penitent? Yes. Do I have to confess my sin? He's faithful and just to forgive my sins. Do I have to walk in the light? Yes. Do I have to live right and love right? Yes. But I can have confidence that He has pardoned me. And all I have to say is, forgive me. And God will forgive me. That ought to make us feel good. You have to be baptized initially. I'm thankful we don't have to get baptized every time we sin, right? We'd be a busy place up here. But we simply, John's already told us, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. God knows everything about me. Lean on Him. Part of what John is doing is say, depend on God for your confidence. Your confidence doesn't come from how many books of the Bible you read today. It doesn't come from even you being here today. It's important to be here. But we have to make sure we don't get into the mentality of, is so-and-so a good Christian? Yeah, he comes to church every Sunday and Wednesday. And is that the measurement for spirituality? No. Do you do that if you're a spiritual person? Yes. When you have opportunity? Yes. But sometimes we get in the wrong mind frame and think, if I do this, I'm going to be okay. No, you're okay because God makes you okay. Depend on God. Go to God. He knows all about you. All your flaws. He will forgive you. The story of the prodigal son is beautiful, isn't it? He comes home and the father runs. Do you see God run to you? You should. Have that confidence. Also, we have confidence in God's provision. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We should boldly approach the throne of God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Do you have to keep His commandments? Yes. Do you have to do the things that are pleasing in His sight? Yes. You have to seek God's will in your life, walk in the light and all those things. But when we do, we can have confidence that when we ask for things, God is going to provide the things that we ask for. Chapter 5, He's going to talk about we receive the things that are according to His will. We understand all that. We need to depend on God to supply us with what we need and approach His throne with confidence and boldness and assurance and ask for what we want and expect God's answer to be what the answer needs to be. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait. Jesus goes in the garden and gets down and prays and says, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. That's our spirit. But we can trust that God's going to supply, Paul says, everything we need, not want, need, according to His glorious riches. Isn't that powerful? God will give you and I everything we need according to His glorious riches. He will answer our prayer. We should be the most prayerful people around because God's listening. God will listen to anything you have to say. Now, if we're obeying His commands and we're doing what's pleasing in His sight, we're not going to ask for the wrong stuff, right? We read about that in James. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask with wrong motives. Our motives are going to be right. As the new year comes upon us, set some spiritual goals for yourself in your world of prayer to make that more vibrant in your life. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The word devote means to center all your life and actions around something. Is your life centered around prayer? Should be. We have a God that listens. If you ever think that God's too busy, but sometimes why do we not pray? Because we're too busy. One of the number one reasons. Also, many people's prayers are hindered because they've got the sneaking suspicion that maybe it doesn't work. John is telling them it works. God will provide the things you need. Take it to God in prayer. If anybody just watches our lives, they should see us devoted to prayer. What? How many hours a day am I supposed to spend? The Bible doesn't tell us to pray and feel good about it. It just tells us to pray. It doesn't tell how long to pray. It just tells us to pray continually, without ceasing. It's an habitual part of our life. If you look at the life of Jesus, He's praying all the time. Just follow that example. Some days I pray more than other days, based on what's going on. James says, is anybody in trouble? Pray. Is anybody happy? Sing. Sometimes I'm singing, sometimes I'm praying, but I'm communicating with God. Have confidence in God's provision. Have confidence in God's pardon. And finally, we have confidence in God's promises. He says, and this is His commandment. How can we make sure we're following the commandment that God wants us to follow? That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It means that we believe in Jesus, and we obey Jesus. In the Bible, when it says believe, or some of your older translations say believeth, it doesn't mean just give an academic mental assent to something. It means to obey. That's what true belief is. Faith without works is dead. That's belief. So if you believe something and you don't act on it, you really don't believe. If you believe you need to confess, but you don't. If you believe you need to be baptized, but you don't. Then you don't really believe. He's talking about acting on the things that Jesus said and taught and did. And love one another as He gave us commandment, love one another as I've loved you, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So He centers them on something very simple. Do you want to make sure that you're right with God? Believe in Jesus and love others. And then He says in verse 24, now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in them. It's a promise. If you abide in Him, he who abides in Him and He in Him. So if I abide in God, what's the promise? He's going to abide in me, right? If I abide, Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and I in you. If I abide in Him, who can I trust and believe that is abiding in me? God. That should make us feel good. I have confidence that if I abide and do the things that Jesus is wanting me to do, He's going to live in me. And how do I know this? We know this, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. God has given us His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, we have the Spirit of promise. When a person is baptized into Christ, you hear the person say the words, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Greek, that means into the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And your sins are washed away, Peter says in Acts 2:38. And you receive the gift of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. His Spirit is in me. I'm sealed. It's a deposit of my inheritance. We have that Spirit. Those are promises God gives us so that we can have confidence. When I begin to wonder if I'm right or not, I can count on the fact that God has blessed me with the promise that He's going to be in me if I'm in Him, and He's given me His Spirit. And those led by the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians, need to keep in step with the Spirit. Three assurances of confident faith: God's pardon, God's provision, God's promises. Back in the 80s, there was a Canadian Air Flight 143. It was going from Montreal, and as the plane took off and got about 40,000 feet in the air, they began to have some indication that the engines were about to fail because there wasn't enough fuel. When they left, they had made the calculations and they were certain they had enough fuel to make the flight to Edmonton. But because of an unrepairable gadget and they miscalculated, they based it on kilograms instead of pounds. Or pounds instead of kilograms, they got confused and they only had 45% of their fuel when they thought they had 100%. And you can read about, there's some movies made about it, but it's this crazy story. Gimli Glider is what it's named because they end up landing on an abandoned airfield where some guys were, it had been turned into a racing spot. And as the plane was coming down, there's two kids on bikes taken off to not get hit by this plane. It's a crazy story, but the 69 people on board are not injured. A few people got injured as they slid out of the plane. But they thought they had the fuel that they needed, but they didn't. Many people go through their spiritual lives thinking that they're okay, but they're really not okay because they're living below their privilege. They're not using the fuel that God gives them. What's the fuel that God gives us spiritually? He wants you to face life with confidence. Confidence in Him. Confidence in His pardon. Confidence in prayer. Confidence in the provision that He's made by giving you promises. Those things give you confidence. So if so, what do I need to do in my life to be fueled up as I approach life? As Satan throws his darts at me, as I deal with the difficulties and uncertainties of life, I need to make sure that I totally trust in God's grace and forgiveness. That I pray. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And spend a lot of time just looking up His promises. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He can do exceedingly abundantly, far above all I ask or imagine, because of His power. That is, I've memorized all those verses because I need them. Because sometimes in life, it can drag us down. He's saying, lift up your head. Have confidence. When I was a teenager, I was hunting in Central Texas, got bit by a tick. My heart rate dropped below 10 beats per minute. They put a pacemaker in, had some weird syndrome. They sent me to Mayo Clinic. I was bummed out, particularly because they took my driver's license away for a while, and I had to go on double dates, or my parents had to take me on a date. That was not cool, right? But I remember being in Mayo Clinic, walking down the halls with one of the doctors, and as we were walking, he noticed that I kept looking down at the ground, and he said, lift your head up. Lift your head up. Lift your head up. I was going through a weird time as an 18-year-old, but what a message. That's John's message. Lift your head up and live with confidence. Maybe you're here today and you need to start that journey by being baptized into Christ. Maybe you need prayers for some other reason. Please come as we stand and sing, if we can help you out.
Thank you.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. If you have ever been a parent, you know and you must admit, hopefully, that you have met your match at least one point in the raising and training of that child. And usually that match comes in the form of questions. And especially when they start coming rapid fire, just one after the other. And the ultimate question from a child that really frustrates a parent is, why? 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 And then ultimately, it's almost as if the parent says, because I'm the parent, that's why. It gets so frustrated. Why do kids ask those why questions? It's because we do the same thing. And sometimes we treat God exactly the same way, with tons of questions. And we falsely think that we have trapped God into a corner with our unique question that no one else has thought of. Can almost feel our kids' frustrations when our own why questions go unanswered. And I had one. I still have it at times. And it's about the sacrifice, the reason we're gathered around the table. Why would God require animal sacrifices in the Old Testament as a method of forgiving sin? I mean, what did those animals ever do wrong? And ironically, that is the answer to the question. What did the animals ever do wrong? Nothing. And so it was the innocent that was sacrificed for the guilty. And then along comes Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world by dying in our place. The innocent dying for the guilty. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only, one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray. God, you made the first move when you knew that we were going to need redemption and forgiveness by creating the animals, offering the animals, and commanding us to use those animals, and then bringing Jesus as the purest and ultimate Lamb of God, the animal to be sacrificed for us. And fathers, we gather around this table and partake of this communion. Help us to remember that this bread that we take represents Jesus' body, the body of that animal, pure and holy, offered in our place for our forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another reason I believe animals were chosen is because Leviticus teaches that life is in the blood. And then Hebrews chapter 9 teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hence the reason Jesus' blood sacrificed for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus' blood
which is the only way we can receive forgiveness, and the only way to come into contact with that blood is to be inside of Jesus through faith and believing in him and baptism into his body. And Father, we thank you for that blood that cleanses us, not just one time, but all time. And as we walk in your light, we continually have that forgiveness. Father, as we partake of this cup that represents that blood, help us to remember and be grateful that for that which you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Chair in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it to the outside. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it to the inside that will be picked up right now. And if you have one of these, I highly encourage you to refuel right now. Because this next one's a bit of a workout. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard God's song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth, for Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I Am. And bow before the great I Am.
We've reached the part of our service where we focus on the blessings that we receive. We receive spiritual blessings every day of our life. It's those things that we pray about, preach about, sing about, and that's those things that Russell talks to us about. And then the other blessings that we receive are material blessings. And that's the blessings that we'd kind of like to focus on now. This past week, there was an email that was sent out saying that the elders had approved $2,000 to be sent to the disaster relief effort for those folks that suffered those tornadoes on the East Coast. So this morning when we make our regular contribution, if you'd like to make a contribution to that fund so that we can replace that $2,000 that was in the budget for other disasters that we might have in the future, if you had marked your contribution as disaster relief, special contribution, and put it in the box in the foyer, you can also make the contribution that can be mailed in, or it can be put in the slot in the door out there. So we want to at this time focus and remember the material blessings that we receive each day. And at this time, after the prayer, we will also end the online service. If you're visiting with us online, we want you to know that we appreciate that, and thank you so much. And if you would, bow with me now. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for all the blessings that you've given us. Father, we are especially mindful of those material things that you bless us with each day. We're thankful, Father, for our means of support, our homes, our jobs. Pray that you would bless our families. Pray that you would continue to bless the leadership here, that they would have the courage and the conviction to do the things that would cause us to continue to grow. Forgive us of our sins, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.